Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. 50 years ago today, journalist David Freudberg filed his first story for National Public Radio. He was 17 years old. Since then, he's made a career working for himself and has scored interviews with everybody from the Dalai Lama to Muhammad Ali to a 29-year-old Joe Biden right after Biden was elected to the Senate. About 25 years ago, Freudberg created a program that blossomed from his interest in the human spirit. It's called Humankind. He produces and hosts it from his studio in Belmont.
The focus of humankind is encompassed by one question: how do we hold on to our humanity in these times of relentless change and daunting challenge? Because it's very easy to lose your sense of humanity at such moments. And I'm fascinated by people who are striving, nevertheless, to hold on to their humanity despite all of that.
I met David Freudberg when I was a college intern. Since then, we worked together and became friends. He speaks to amazing people. For example, May Bertha Carter. She was a black sharecropper in the Mississippi Delta. She had 13 children. When the U.S. passed the Federal Civil Rights Act in 1964, she enrolled her kids in what had been an all-white public school. Freudberg picks up the story there.
So the work supervisor at the Pemble Plantation, where the Carter family lived, demanded that they cancel their enrollment in public schools, but they held firm. That night, May Bertha's husband noticed a caravan of strange vehicles approaching the house.
And he says, "What all those cars doing coming in here?" And he could see the light flashing all on the house. And then my husband said, "Oh, they shooting out there. They shooting." And I ran to the bed where my children were sleeping, trying to see if they had been shot. Went to the next room. Shots came in the window, on the porch, on top of the house. That's when I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of my kids." We slept on the floor the rest of the night. At least we was on the floor. I was the rest of the night, down below the window.
You must have been terrified.
Oh, I was frightened, but I had trust in God.
May Bertha passed away the year after I met her, successfully putting her children through public schools.
There was someone else you interviewed who I know moved you greatly, and that was Jill Jackson Miller. How did she come to your attention? Because she's not a household name, even though a piece of music that she was in part responsible for is known around the world.
Along with her husband, Cy Miller, Jill composed the famous song "Let There Be Peace on Earth." And Jill, in recalling the composition of that famous song in 1955, related to me that she had been invited to a workshop intended as an interfaith gathering of young people.
So we were invited to go up to that interfaith, interracial workshop of 180 teenagers. There was this feeling of true empathy and understanding and wanting to really find the way that life can be lived. And when they heard and sang this song the first time in the mess hall, it took them over and it became their theme without anybody's voting or anything. They sang it in a circle, and they envisioned the world in the circle. They envisioned the world in their circle. And they said, "We want to live it and share it." So 75 of them literally began to share the song. And my late husband figured it took us about 30 hours a week for 10 years to answer the mail. It's like trying to describe what happens if 75 people toss pebbles into a lake. The ripples from each pebble is like a new movement. People need validation very much. The "Let it begin with me." Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
You know, that idea of the ability for someone to be an inspiration is what your interview with the young Matty Stepanek was all about. Some people may recognize the name. Tell us about your talk with him.
It's almost impossible to convey the miracle that was Matty. He was a bright young man who used a wheelchair that resulted from a rare form of muscular dystrophy he inherited. All three of his siblings had died from it before I met him. That was in 2002 at the basement apartment where he lived with his mother, Jenny. He was 11 years old when we made this recording. Amazingly, Matty had notched two New York Times bestsellers by that point. They were books of his poetry, which everybody found inspiring. You'll hear him in this clip gasping for breath because of the breathing tube that had been inserted into his neck. What I remember most was his amazing attitude.
Well, I'm not the only disabled kid in the world. There's a lot of people, not just kids, that are sick in some way. And a lot of them are very sad about life, feeling down in the dumps. And I tell them, appreciate every moment of life. Because even though you live forever in a better place after you die, you should enjoy life on Earth while it lasts.
Is it tempting sometimes to just really feel sorry for yourself? Does it ever get you down?
Oh, yes. I get sad, scary, even sometimes angry, but I don't dwell on it. I don't say, I'm sick, my life is terrible, I can't run around and jump, I can't dive into the pool. I rather say, I can't run around, but I can sure as heck roll around pretty fast. I can't dive into the pool, but I can get a water gun and squirt people.
Mm-hmm. So I better be careful in what I say or I might get squirted by a squirt gun.
I'd be careful around you.
Well, I'll be careful around you.
I mean, I was so uplifted by the inspiring message that he brought until his passing 2 years later at age 14. So another of the folks we interviewed was physician James Gordon. He's a clinical professor of psychiatry and family medicine at Georgetown University Medical School in Washington. And he told me about some of his experiences interacting with people who are undergoing enormous personal distress.
What I see is people who are often dispirited by the conditions that they're living through. So whether it's somebody who's dealing with a diagnosis of cancer or somebody who's been through a terrible collective tragedy like the hurricanes in Puerto Rico or the shootings in Broward County at Stoneman Douglas, they feel demoralized, dispirited. They have a sense that the rug of life has been pulled out from under them. They don't know who or what to trust and to have faith in anymore.
A certain sense of abandonment?
Abandonment often by the universe. You know, who am I? What can I count on anymore?
That's James Gordon, and you interviewed him prior to the pandemic, but it sure does speak to now.
Well, I think the answer to the very profound question he was posing, that many people undergoing distress are asking themselves, is, am I alone? Have I been abandoned? And I think the answer to that is to open oneself to the universe, to the love that abounds in the universe that we see almost every day in various ways and various settings. And that love, if we avail ourselves of it, will take us home and will light the way for us to get through whatever travail we're experiencing.
That's what you do, David. And you've been doing it for 50 years, and may there be many more. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
David Freudberg is host and executive producer of the public radio program Humankind.